If you're going post up, make totally, completely sure that you are winning. Don't let somebody come in, because it's the worst, right? You got your hands up here and you're looking down and they're literally just riding underneath you.
I watched it, yes, so many times. And she looks right, and she was the fastest sprinter. On paper, Wiebes wins that sprint. She was the fastest rider in this select group. And she looked right, and she just didn't realize Voss, being the boss she is, the goat she is just like, I got you. And she goes by, and basically Wiebes' statement after the race, after following like a lot of disappointment and tears, which is 100% understandable, she said that she ate an idiot sandwich.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Move Podcast, talking about the Liège-Bastogne-Liège Femme today. And if you're a fan of actual bike racing, you would have loved it, because I watched both races. And I think Tadej Pogačar is one of the best to ever race a bike. But come on, that was not a race. That was like chess and checkers. I don't know what. But the women's race, as soon as Peacock flicked it on, I was like, okay, it was a race. It was on. We're going to get into all that action. I am joined by Mari Holden. Mari, how are you? I never know where you are. I'm looking at you, but where now? Where now? What?
I'm in Menlo Park. I was at Sea Otter. Now I'm at Menlo Park.
Are you at the Rosewood there?
I am.
You are so. I mean, this is the guy. This is just.
We got to do it, Lance.
Somebody has to do it. I was giving George some grief on the last show because he actually called people, somebody else, our group of people, bougie. And I'm like, excuse me, you just called somebody bougie? That's rich. You're the bougie one, Mari.
How do we get a
I was actually hanging out with George last week, too, in Scottsdale. Missed out on that, too.
Also joined by Al, aka, well, just she just goes by Allie. She's our boss. She just got back from, well, y'all were both at Sea Otter, and I was so curious about what even that is all about. But maybe at the end of the show we can talk about it. But I do have a question, Allie. Mm-hmm. Looks like you got a little something going on there with the what happened to your arm, your shoulder?
I got some KT tape on my arm. I actually got this brought up a lot when I was at Sea Otter. I'm still.
I don't know why. I have no idea why anybody would ask.
Because when I got hit by that truck, which, you know, you told your show before my parents knew that I got hit by the truck. But I dislocated my shoulder and tore my labrum, and it spontaneously dislocates. So this KT tape is helping me, my shoulder stay in socket when I'm riding my bike. So hopefully I don't need surgery. But I'm calling in here from Carmel Valley. So I have this beautiful view of vineyards and the San Lucia Highlands. So I want to be as bougie as Mari right now, because it is just 75 degrees, perfect, not a cloud in the sky. And there's some good activities coming my way.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. Well, let's talk about actually, and for the audience, we are also going to talk. Let's just sum this up and call it the week of the Ardennes. Reminder, the Ardennes are this part of Belgium. We did touch on this in the men's show, because I just think I'm always so curious about how Belgium is just so different, right? You've got the Flemish part, which obviously has Tour Flanders and Gent Wevelgem and things like that. And then you have the Ardennes, which is, if you watched on TV, is a beautiful part of the world. It's very hilly, very green, roads, twisty, turny, undulating, very, very demanding. But Amstel Gold Race, which is obviously not Belgium, is in Holland, is just across the border. It's technically still sort of part of the Ardennes. So we're going to loop all this or lump all this together. Liège, Flesh Wallonne, and Amstel Gold Race. But let's first start with Liège. And I'll just say, like, I may not be a popular statement, but I was just, again, I think Tadej's great. That race was boring. I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the gym. This guy's time trialing away. This is lame. And then I flicked on the women's race as soon as it came on, and it was so exciting. Like, you just didn't know, right? You had the break. Would the break come back? Not to mention the eventual winner, who decided at a roundabout to go through basically a bus stop. Even that was exciting. I mean, it was just the dynamic of women's cycling right now is just totally different than the men's. And it's look, I'll just say it. It's better racing. It is straight up.
It's one of the things that a lot of, I was just going to say, it's one of the things that a lot of the people at Sea Otter were coming up to me and talking about was just how excited they are to watch the women's racing. And I honestly felt like, you know, you're right, Lance, we can't come into the race until so late into the race because of the men's. But if we had had them going head to head, I think that more people would have switched over to the women's race and been watching that because it was so exciting. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, and they keep it. It's just such a fun thing to watch right now.
It was just stunning to turn it on and see this break up the road. These roads are really hard. So you're looking at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, 10 climbs, 153 kilometers long. And there was a breakaway up the road with some contenders. And there was some, you know, guesses, like they were a couple minutes ahead of the peloton within 30K to go. And you're thinking, you know, how hard those hills are, Lance, like you're talking about, it's really twisty. It was wet. It's cold. And there wasn't a lot of like organization in the peloton to chase. And people are looking at SD Works because they were usually the bosses there. And there were some pursuers. And I actually thought Little Trek did a really good job of kind of owning control, bringing back the break ish, but oy. I mean, tune into this race, but it was fantastic. I do want to talk about some of like what happened, but Lance,
yeah, when you
tuned in, there's a break of three up the road. So you have Grace Brown, which we're a big fan of. We have talked about her at the Tour de France Vomebec Swift. She's a time trialist. I really like her style of racing because she's kind of a bulldozer of a rider, and that's how I ride. Like Lance has definitely critiqued me on my low cadence seated just grinder. And she's second at the World Championships in the time trial, and she just goes, but she's not like technically a climber or, you know, but she's a this time trialist, and she's up the road with Elise Shabby from Canyon SRAM, who I have some fun facts about. She competed in the 2012 Summer Olympics in the slalom canoe.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Now that one got me. I know a lot about cycling, but I didn't know that.
There was a slalom canoe. Yes. And then she was also joined by a breakaway mate, which we don't always see EF up there all the time, but by Kim Kadso, who's a Kiwi rider who this is only her like second year racing in the World Tour. And she has the funniest story. She she was a triathlete trying to get into Europe to race bikes. So she was a recovering triathlete, we'll say. You know, Lance and I have been there as well. But she worked as a salmon fishing farm where she would like fillet the fish, like fish them, fillet them, and then serve them. She was a sous chef. She worked at Domino's. She was a lifeguard, a landscaper, and her brother built her a bike, and she goes to Europe and gets a contract at Jumbo Visma bike, like Lisa bike last year. They sever that contract. She signs for EF this year. And make fun of triathletes all you want, but you guys saw her bunny hop that curb and just go straight when Grace Brown almost crashed. I mean, this woman, I thought she had a heck of a race.
I don't know how somebody, I mean, Demi Vollering got her foot out immediately. I thought that was a pro move, but I was like, oh shoot, we're about to see a yard sale here. And they all figured it out, right? That's now you always have to be a little lucky. Who knows when you decide that you have to go straight in a corner, you don't know what's going to be on when the road ends, but they were lucky to be able to just, I mean, literally they basically rode through the bus stop, over the grass, through the bus stop. And she came back and.
But at that point, I mean, like Grace had been working so hard because she came from the break from before that. So, I mean, there was a break of about nine prior to it getting down to the three time trialists off the front. So, I mean, she had been really driving it early. And, you know, then to see that happen, you're like, oh no, her race is over. Like, I mean, at that point, I just thought there's no way, you know. So watching her be able to come back and do it, she did. It was just like something I would have never expected.
Well, y'all know the sport a million times better than me, but if I just flew in and didn't know anything, right? This is what I've heard, right? Time trial world champion in the break all day wins a small bunch sprint. Like
technically second
something
second at world championships. Yep.
Okay. But a time trialist, right? So all of these things, I'm like, wait, how did the last one happen? That's impressive.
Well, and then when you watched the sprint, I mean, I know we're getting to the very end of the race, but when you watched the sprint and you saw it going with Longo Borghini, and it just looked like she was going to get it. And Grace Brown sat down and then she got back out of the saddle again and re-accelerated. You know, I watched it a couple of times because I thought, well, maybe she had like got sat down to shift and then come back out again and got more speed from shifting or something. But she came by with such power. And I mean, the whole thing just kind of blew me away. The speed that she passed everyone by.
Yeah. And Cecily, she was seated and basically in her 53.11 and then just had one last snap. And I think where the race like kind of started, where the break was up the road and the break was basically staying away. And what happened is our favorite Lamborghini, which I thought she had this, even though we can talk about Canyon SRAM.
Your favorite. Your favorite.
No, I have a lot of favorites.
We're not supposed to play favorites.
I'm allowed to do whatever I want. And
you're right.
and they're all my favorites, but they're all my favorites. But what I noticed is the break was kind of dangling. They're working really well together, like cohesively. And the Peloton was approaching quite quickly, but it was a very diminished Peloton by this point because it's on the last climb. It's getting hard. People are tired. It's also very cold. So around like 13.7K to go, you're looking it up. And that's where I said that little trek definitely set it up. And Lamborghini, Alisa Longo Borghini, attacks. And Damie didn't like, she kind of faltered a little bit. And Cassia's there, but Cassia has a teammate up there, you know? So Damie was stuck like trying to close these gaps. And I was like, ooh, she doesn't look great. And so then the group kind of comes and then they're playing. And Canyon SRAM had two riders there with Alisa Szabe and Cassia Nyodoma. And I don't know, Mari, you can tell me on the tactics of that, but I didn't feel like Canyon went full send to win because they had the numbers. And I think they might have made a tactical error in there that they didn't fully commit to do like the 2x2.
It looked like they didn't like fully commit to that. But at the same time, their attacks, no matter how they were doing, was almost keeping it at speed. So I was surprised that Bullring didn't try and take advantage of the fact that Alisa Longo Borghini was like chasing everything, you know, because she closed the gap to them all the time. The other two girls who had come on weren't doing anything. And I mean, I would have thought that would be an opportunity for them too to kind of make an attack because, you know, Canyon was going and going, but if one of them had gone, then who's going to chase them? Right.
Yeah. I would question Damie on that. Like, cause when Alisa went, Damie kind of sat up and looks at Cassia, who we'll talk about later, who just won Flesh Wallone. Amazing. But she kind of looks up at her, but you have Alisa Szabe up there. And so Cassia for once did not like pull through there. And Damie's like, oh, you always, you know, go. Cassia like always drives it. And then she was like, oh shoot. And I felt like Damie Bullring would be in the only SC work. So everybody wore onesies in there except Canyon SRAM. And they didn't even get on the podium.
And when Longo Borghini either got word or looked around and saw, I mean, she just went straight through the other. She's like, oh my God, where'd that go? Like, this is it. I got to go.
I love her so much, but this is the Lamborghini style. Do you see it? She just goes full send. Like she just commits, she goes. And I actually coming down to that sprint, I thought she had it. I thought she was going to win. I was cheering
again, going back to what I just said. I mean, on paper, she wins that sprint 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Even watching, we thought she, I mean, you know, like who would have expected Grace Brown to come from behind so far and accelerate that fast?
And, you know, when you're looking back at Grace Brown, she's Australian, like I said, definitely national champion in the time trial, second at world champions and championships of the time trial. And she's actually had a really bad spring. Like we know how strong she is. We've seen her perform so well throughout the year, but you look at what she's done this year and I can feel it's been very disappointing for her. We're looking at like 38th, 40th, 50th places. Like she hasn't been anywhere, but she has gotten second at Liège-Bastogne-Liège before. You know, so I think it's just like how arduous that course is and how her like torque and power and just resilience really power her there, which means I think she's come to something really strong to the Olympics. So I think we might need to look for her at the time trial at the Olympics. You know, and she, just to let you know where Grace Brown comes from, she is a cross country runner. And she got a bunch of stress fractures. So she started racing a bike and they asked her if this was her biggest win of her career. And I think I could tell she was kind of like, is it second at world championships or is she just eyeing Paris right now in that time trial?
I mean, keep in mind, she is Australian, but she races for a French team.
Yep.
The Summer Olympics are in Paris, right? So you're wearing, right, the Australian national team jersey, but you're paid by Française des Jeux. It's that sets up nicely
Yeah. I thought it was just a stellar finish, but also it was very slippery coming in. Like we were talking about crashing, like going through the bus stop and things like that coming into the finish. It was, I thought anybody's race, and Grace Brown was not the one I was going to pick in that moment, but kudos to her.
I wouldn't have said it's anybody's race at that point. I would have said you would think it was like Lamborghini's race at that moment.
Yeah. Y'all know a lot more than me, but I would have put my hand in a fire for that one. Mm-hmm. Hey, Johan was curious about, or had some thoughts on Demi Bollering. Obviously, she dominated the Ardennes last year. She was a factor in this race today. He knows a lot about all kinds of cycling, including women's cycling. He thinks there's just something off. And if you read what we all read in the press, potentially leaving the team or looking for other offers, that's a distraction. We all know that. But he just feels like something's amiss with her.
Go ahead, Mari.
No, I was just going to agree. Something's a little bit off. I think possibly they came into the year thinking she wants to peak a little later, but then with all the stress and emotional stuff that goes on with all this stuff that's coming out in the press and with her team, I can imagine it's taking a huge toll on her, because even from our conversations, I felt like she's a emotional kind of person, or that's just kind of the vibe I got. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I feel like that probably weighs on her. And then when you come into something thinking you're going to peak later on, it's easy to say before that you're not going to be upset about not getting the results you want early on. But if you're not getting the results you're used to seeing, it can mess with your head. So, I mean, hopefully she's not letting it mess with her head too much in that sense, so that she's ready for the Olympics and for the, you know, for the tour.
Yeah, I think that I'll go with you, Mari, on that. And I mean, I'm sure Johan agrees that she is looking for a later peak, and right, this could be very challenging. And also the team drama, we're pretty sure. I mean, we're going to guess she's going with UAE for over $1 million. I think that she's still supportive of the team, and she loves her riders. Like, she's a good friend with, you know, friends with all her teammates. And that's really hard to have all that attention on it. And she is a rider that you've seen her, and we love it because she rides with her dog in the backpack and things. So she is an emotional rider that wants to be having fun. And she didn't look great to me today, but she got third. So Canyon SRAM's off the podium. Mm-hmm. So she still had that snap, but she didn't have her normal like calm. But I could see her. She's really big into meditation and yoga and camping in the Alps with her partner and her dogs. And, you know, but I could see her kind of come in and try to regain composure. And for her to snap around, I thought it was an impressive finish for her. She was alone, you know, she had a lot of work to do, and she's not as punchy as a Lamborghini. You know,
well,
you know,
and she looked good at flesh too. You know, I think maybe she kind of underestimated Katja in the finish at flesh, but she obviously rode stronger there than she had been in the prior races. So things are coming up. But I mean, I think that like what happens when you're used to winning certain things and you're not winning, even though you've laid out a plan that says you're looking for something later, the like dealing with not doing as well as you're used to is difficult. I mean, you know, Lance, you had your team always focused on the tour, and, you know, you can let the earlier results go, but you had a team around you saying, this is according to plan. This is all blah, 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 you know? So you don't get stressed if it doesn't go exactly the way you're used, you know, you would like to have won some race or something. So I don't know. Well, I think it's a combination of things.
I think it's an important reminder that the Tour de France Femme of Ex-Zwift starts, what, two-ish weeks later this year because of the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. If I think about my career, we always knew the tour was always roughly early July. We had checkpoints along the way, and those checkpoints didn't happen until April, May, and June, right? And so I knew that. Not so much in Liège, but in those days, Amstel Gold Race was after Liège. I had to be towards the front of the race at Amstel Gold Race as a checkpoint, right? Okay, I'm there. Now we go to the May checkpoint, then the June checkpoint, and then we'll see what happens in July. If for whatever reason, the men's tour back then started 2 or 3 weeks later, well, my checkpoint gets pushed back. That's then a May checkpoint and not a late April checkpoint. So, I mean, I don't hate it. I think if that's what it's probably smart. She also has to consider the Olympic Games, but if the tour is the one that matters the most, which I believe that it is, then it's just a later checkpoint. And then it's going to be different than 2023 or 2022.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's really tricky to do the planning if you're a woman this year, because the Olympics are prior to the tour. Yep. And while the tour might be your big goal with your trade team, the Olympics are your big goal for your, you know, governing body. And for, I mean, the Olympics are still a big deal for women especially. So I don't know. I think it's kind of balancing those things, and it's a challenge. And then you add into that you're looking for a new contract, and you think everyone's judging your results early on, and you're in these discussions and stuff. It's, I think staying focused is difficult.
I think she has her contract done.
I think she can do it. I mean, she's been riding it, each race has gotten better.
So yeah. It's done. So, seven figures too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's done. And so that, you know, it's hard with allegiances and stuff, but you know, Lance, I like your haircut looks really good. I mean, I know this is not a sponsor of the show, but is this Manscaped thing? Cause I made Blaze cut.
Are you really taking it from Demi Vollering's contract to Lance's hair?
No, to Manscaped. No, but I'm staring.
Well, first of all, Lance has a shirt on that I want, and
he's
going to have to make me one. But I did notice your haircut, cause like Blaze has been walking around with this like crazy hair. And I said, before you go to the Sea Otter Classic, please cut your hair. So
yeah. I cut it back. It's getting, you know, it's getting hot here in Austin.
Ooh.
And you know, it's just easier. It's just easier. If I grow my hair, y'all know this, it turns into a fro. And when it's hot and humid, it's like a super fro. So I prefer to just cut it back, but I'm also happy to go back and talk about Demi Vollering, which by the way, I was just checking my IG the other day. Just saying, got a new follower. Demi Vollering. I was like, whoa, shit, that's dope. I mean, I was like, I get a lot of cool followers, but I was like, man, I have made it. The women's champ for the Tour de France Femme of Zwift gave the old man a follow. I was like, done. I almost didn't even show up today. I almost just screenshotted it and sent it to y'all and said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm taking the week off. I was pretty psyched.
Oh man, I might have asked her to do that for you just to make sure you're.
Hey, come on, don't ruin it. By the way, just you know, I was sticking with Demi. I mean, I did have questions and theories of my own. I was like, the gym work. Maybe, you know, she's looking for some gym tips. I've been working out hard in the gym. I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And you just ruined it. My homegirl said bullied her into following me. Have a good Sunday, Lance.
Also, she's really sweet. You know, maybe she felt sorry for you.
Hey, I'll take it.
You know, we do want to talk about this as we're traveling. Mari's always somewhere. I've been in the sun a lot here at Sea Otter Classic and taking care of our skin. Mm-hmm. And you're looking, we also want to celebrate all the moms in the Peloton too. This like great space that we are in women's sports, where these athletes can have maternity leave and come back and keep racing with confidence that they have their team contracts still going on. We've talked about that with Lizzie Deigman, Ellen Van Dyke. So we have our great sponsor and of our show, which is OneSkin, and you guys know that. I travel. They have a little travel packet that I've been using, which is awesome. So I can travel with a small one that's TSA approved and stuff when I'm on the plane. But taking care of your skin is really important. But Lance, I've met your mom. I love your mom. And I just want to remind you that Mother's Day is coming up. And so just remember, send a card, or you could send her a little OneSkin care package where, you
know,
love it.
She would absolutely love that.
I know, like, you can be a caregiver, a mom, a caregiver mom, Lance. I mean, that just sounds like a hard work. So I think your mom might actually need that maybe from you, like a little love to put up with you most of her life. But we do really love that OneSkin is our sponsor of this show, and it has a proprietary OS01 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And there's lots of studies to back it up on. And it's founded by female scientists, and we love it. And so, Mari, you've been using it, and I'm sure you've been traveling around. And I mean, my skin was getting real dry out there at Sea Otter. You're in this dust bowl of Laguna Seca with like 80,000 people talking about bikes. So I was definitely using my OneSkin.
Definitely need it in those kinds of conditions. But one of the things I wanted to remind people about is, you know, it's important to take care of your skin all over your body, not just your face. I've always like been super concerned about, you know, making sure my face, like my skin is, that I take care of it. But sometimes you forget about the other areas, like on your arms or your legs. And as you know, with aging, you get a little bit more of that thinning skin. And so the body is a great, way to take care of that, the one skin body. And it's something that I've kind of added to my routine. I feel like I wish I had added it earlier. So Allie, take note. But it's definitely having the peptides help with reversing skin damage and kind of, you know, making it so your skin isn't thinning as much is a really good thing. And that's my new favorite.
Yeah, I hopped into the road race at Sea Otter Classic to, you know, do this like GoPro 360 live to, you know, race with these women. And when I looked at the results, by the way, I had a blast. I'm not going to state my age here, but most of the women were under 22 in my road race. And I was looking down at those, like, you know, that quad muscle at the top of your knee. And I was like, I need to put some one skin on there. Like those quads have been working for a lot of years, ladies. So I probably should have passed out samples.
That's so funny, Allie, because I was looking at the girls at the start line too, and you were there. And I thought you looked great, but I was like, oh my God, they are so young. That's all I was like, they're babies out there.
I was like, hi, who are you? Where are you from? Like, I was racing with a woman from Guatemala, from Mexico, like women from all over the world to participate in this road race. And I felt, I would say old, but we'll call it accomplished. But I made sure to go home and put some one skin on the, you know, those creases in my elbows and on my knees, but.
And on your hands, you know, on the backs of your hands.
Oh yeah. That's a good one. It's amazing. They do. I love the eye for under the eyes. The body is amazing. But we're really proud that they're sponsoring our show, and we have a new code, Lance. So this is exciting because, we're celebrating. So remember, your mom needs this present, or I will send it to her for you if you need.
I'm on it.
But the code is FEMM. So FEMMES, cause we're celebrating the women, Mother's Day, women's cycling. And so One Skin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, One Skin keeps your skin looking and acting longer, younger for longer. Get started today with this is special. Now we're at 15% off, and we're celebrating basically your mom, Mari, and me, and all the other ladies with the code FEMM, FEMMES, at oneskin.co. So that's 15% off oneskin.co with the code FEMM, FEMMES. And when you purchase, just tell them we sent you there. And well, thank you guys, because this is awesome that we get to cover women's cycling and really celebrate everything that's happening. Like women's cycling, I saw Serena Williams said it. We're having a moment, but this moment is something that has been deserved for a long time, and it's not just going to be a moment. So this is so fun. We get to talk about women's sports.
Yep. Caitlin Clark, we're sitting here talking about Demi Vollering getting $1 million contract.
Ooh. You know, which is interesting when you start like to compare it to Caitlin, more and more. Right? I mean, her salary is something worth talking about maybe at another time.
Yeah. So that's where we're
she's going to make the paper on, I mean, what she's doing. She has a signature shoe with Nike.
Well, of course, but you still look at the, like her salary versus, you know, a men's salary.
From the league. Mean, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. 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 Well, let's talk. Oh, sorry.
Oh, man.
Sorry, boss.
I know I cut you off all the time. I got really excited because yes, we are also going to talk about some of the other big Ardenne classics. So we still have to cover Amstel Gold, which is going to be a little dramatic because Lance, this is the most embarrassing thing that ever happens. If you celebrate too close before the finish, we'll talk about that. And also it's been 1,770 days since Kasia Neodoma has won a World Tour race. Flesh alone. So let's dive into those two before we wrap up.
And we talked about this in recent weeks, that she's always there. Always. I mean, it's like clockwork. She's there. And I think I even said, I'm like, boy, when are you going to win one? I didn't realize.
Sometimes she's your favorite. I don't know. Sometimes I think you.
I don't have a problem admitting that. I love racers that are aggressive, that are always in the moves, that are always in the mix, right? How can you, you're always trying, right? And so, yeah, I'm a huge fan of that.
So where do you guys want to start? Amstel Gold or Flesh to wrap up our Ardennes?
Let's go in order.
Okay. Amstel then.
Okay.
Okay. Amstel actually. So, it's an interesting, it was a very unique situation. So the race was supposed to be 154.7 kilometers. It's a typical Amstel Gold course. And there was an unfortunate accident where a police officer and a motorcycle, there was a major injury that occurred on course. So the women 45 kilometers into the race had to be neutralized for over an hour. Can you imagine going full gas, starting Amstel Gold, and then you're sitting on the side of the road in freezing temperatures and your race is neutralized. And so the race got shortened by over 50 kilometers. So it took out one lap of the finishing circuits. And you know how hard those finishing circuits are at Amstel Gold. And so they went from three laps of the finishing circuit instead of the four that were planned. And so what I think what happened there is the group's not as fatigued, right? That's 50 kilometers less of racing, which that race is arduous. It doesn't look hard. You think, you know, you're in Holland. I have raced this course. They're the tiniest roads and you're just like up, down, twisty, right? Like, and it's just hard. Like nothing looks hard on paper until you've been doing it for that long. So the group coming into the finish was a select group of 19, but I think there are some riders that would not have been there if it had been had that extra 50 kilometers. So we're coming into the finish and we're going up the last time up the Cobourg, which is benefited to the world championship. I've definitely raced up this, I don't know, it feels like a million times. And and Wiebes is still there. So our Lorena Wiebes from SD Works Pro Time is still there. And she comes up to sprint and, you know, we got our Lamborghini going, you know, it's like a sprint finish. It's a little hectic, but the Cobourg's not that steep. Like it's a big ring sprint, right? And it was into a block headwind. Like anyway, and she celebrates, does her big, you know, she has that big, like very powerful celebration she does. And she looks right before she crosses a line, but she didn't realize on the left was the boss, the Voss. And Voss bike throws as Wiebes is doing her, you know, big old, like powerful muscle, like, post up. And Voss, up, yep. and Voss pips her out of the line for the win.
I mean, we oftentimes call that a PSA for the kids out there learning to race bikes and hopefully win bike races. Like, kids, that is a public service announcement. Like if you don't post up, buddy, be 100% sure, because it can happen other ways too, right? We all grew up doing criteriums or circuit races. We all seen the stories of somebody that doesn't hear the bell lap and comes across and they're posting up and all of a sudden they hear the bell and they're like, oh shit, I got to do another lap. Like it can come in all different form and fashion, but If you're going to post up, make totally completely sure that you are winning. Don't let somebody come in, because it's the worst, right? You got your hands up here and you're looking down and they're literally just riding underneath you.
I watched it. Yes. So many times. And she looks right. And she was the fastest sprinter on paper. Wiebes wins that sprint. She was the fastest rider in this select group. And she looked right. And she just didn't realize Voss, being the boss she is, the goat she is just like, I got you. And she goes by and basically Wiebes' statement after the race, after following like a lot of disappointment and tears, which is 100% understandable. She said that she ate an idiot sandwich.
Well, she'd be in hard.
I think on it's herself. Also like a,
No, she'd be in hard, real quick. She'd be in hard on herself. A lot of amazing champions have done the very same thing. This is not the first time this has happened. She should not feel like it was an idiot sandwich. It happens. It'll never happen again to her. I promise you that. We all, I think, can see that, but it just, sometimes it just happens.
Well, and it also shows, I think, that like, you got to keep fighting all the way to the line if you're not the one who's like, looks like they've won the sprint, right? I mean, Marianne Voss did the bike throw and ended up beating her and it didn't look like she was going to be able to, that's like a split second kind of decision that she had to make to keep going for it.
And Voss never quitting, you know, being the multi-world champion she is, but I didn't know her arms could be that long. She's not that tall of a person, but that might've been the bike throw of all bike throws. And though, however, Lance, like I know you guys probably covered this last year on the men's, but that that finish line, like Pidcock did the same thing last year, I believe it was. It is, they try to make it more clear. And I was worried that Pity would do it again in the men's race because it says like finish, but the line's like a couple meters, little more. And I don't know how, like we've used the Cobourg in a finish in so many races, how confusing where that finish line actually is. In the finish line for like 20 meters and where is the actual line? It was a big deal in the men's race a couple years ago.
That should be very clear.
Yeah.
For any race.
But I think Wiebes, that showed that she was strong. I don't think she actually would have been there. I think it would have been a much different finish if we had those extra 50 kilometers, an extra lap on that highly technical hilly course. But I'm super proud. I mean, Marion Voss coming back, like Voss's boss is my big thing. Mm-hmm. And my heart hurt for Wiebes because that's a hard race to be. And also just... It sucks. And I'm glad you're saying that she shouldn't be hard on herself, but you know how it is. Like, what would you be doing? Like, you would just be like, like idiot sandwich was a funny way to say it. But you know, she won't do it again. I agree. And that's when we dive into our last Ardennes that we haven't covered, which was Flesh
Below. Is the midweek race. So just as a reminder, right? These races, the longer races, harder races, not that Flesh Flown isn't hard. It's very hard. But Amstel and Liège sort of book in this thing. And then Flesh Flown is always a midweek race. It's a little bit like Gent-Wevelgem for the Flemish races or for the cobbled races up in Flanders. But Flesh Flown's, yours truly won that race going way back 1996. The Muir de Wee.
Was I born yet? I don't know.
Oh my God. You said at the top of the show that you won't tell anybody your age. So
I was born. I just might have been 10.
I thought you were going to open up and tell us how old you are, but the Muir de Wee is it's very difficult. And certainly the conditions. I didn't catch the women's race, but the conditions for the men's race were just awful. But the climb itself is brutal. And you do it multiple times. And of course the finish is on top. And to have Nia Vedoma right on the heels of us talking about her, like, isn't it time that she actually wins one of these? Well, I think she might've been, she got the message because great to see her finally win. And yes, I will admit she is one of my favorites.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So Flesh Wallonne is, I've raced it a bunch. And it's weird because the Muir de Wee doesn't feel that hard. Like, I mean, it's hard, but when you're racing it, you know, the race is setting up and then suddenly it's like the hardest 10K of your life. And then you just like, it's especially when you're domestique, like I was, where you're leading through all these technical circuits and then somehow you lose 2.5 minutes in like a kilometer, right? Like when you're leading these out, like how hard you go up the last finishing of that climb is nuts. So the Flesh Wallonne was 143.5 kilometers for the women. It was extremely cold, wet, and snowy. So I think that really factored in. Cassia Nia Vedoma attacks 200 meters to go. Damey maybe was a little slow to follow her. So I felt like she was coming at like more speed. And then Elisa Longo Borghini or Lamborghini gets third. It was a really exciting finish. Also, this is cool because we talk a lot about these races coming back into the women's World Tour schedule, but this is the 28th edition of Flesh Wallonne. So let's kudos to like Flesh Wallonne for always having a women's race like for this long. And it finished 1 hour after the men's. When I've done it in years past, we usually finish an hour before. So it just depends. And I did tell the stat that it's been 1,770 days since Cassia Nia Vedoma's last win, but that is 30 times, Lance, 30 times at second or third place.
Wow.
At a World Tour race. And Cassia Nia Vedoma tweets, I guess 31 is my lucky number.
Hey.
I love her.
It's a big one to win. Big one to win.
But I do think we were talking about Vollering earlier and her form coming back. And I felt like she rode into that pretty confident. She was basically like leading up the whole, you know, she was leading up the whole climb toward the finish. And I thought maybe, you know, I was watching thinking, you know, maybe she's a little bit too confident here because she's got, you know, everyone with her, not everyone, but, and so it was interesting when Katja attacked her because I didn't know that Katja would have as much of a jump as she did at that time. Same as I'm sure Vollering was assuming. But I thought it was interesting that maybe she is starting to feel like she's coming into form a little bit because she was riding in a confident kind of manner up the Muir de Huy at the finish.
Yeah. And the emotion, was just beautiful. And I love emotion in sports. And I know sometimes people, I mean, Lance, I know maybe you wanted to hide some of your emotions because you have this like, you know, steel vision and you want to be like impenetrable, but to see the emotion of, no, but it's true. Right. Sometimes athletes,
I'm only smirking because you guys know me. So y'all are like, yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit. This guy's a goofball.
Yeah. Well, we know you better, but, you know, people like, but the emotion of the raw, just joy that she had, was really special because she's been fighting for this. Like I said, 30 times on the podium for the last, you know, several years, and for her to come and to be just so thrilled. And I think honestly too, she was really surviving those cold temperatures too, because I think that was really affecting riders.
Terrible.
I find it interesting though, that she won the gravel world championships, which I mean, in the road scene is not nothing, but she ended up getting a big win last year at the end of the year. And I felt like we were going to start seeing it kind of got her over that hump of winning something big. And so I feel like now that that was her first thing, now she's won flesh. And today she was riding like she thought she would win, you know, today. So I'm really excited to see what happens like at the next races, you know, because I don't think she's as worried about the Olympics as she is about the tour. So my guess would be she preps all in for the tour.
I did notice one, Mara, you brought up today's finish in Liège, and she, I thought she had made a fantastic attack. And of course the commentators like, are we going to see it? You know, the flesh and Liège double. And Lamborghini caught her and she kept pulling. And I thought, this is interesting. I mean, it was perfect for Lamborghini, but typically you have somebody, as soon as they get caught, they sit up and recalculate and try to make another plan because they know, of course, it's not her game, the sprint game, but I would have loved to have been in earshot to hear for sure. I know if that was me and somebody had agreed to continue to pull, I would be talking, right? Mm-hmm. Keep whatever language they're exchanging, like it's perfect for her, as opposed to just sitting there on the front and being a sitting duck. Like, I found that interesting. I was like, there's some solidarity here on some level.
Yeah. I didn't quite understand it either. I just thought, well, she must think that, possibly if she keeps going, not everyone's going to come around, and maybe she could still salvage a podium position if they're not like good behind her. Right. But I didn't quite get it either. Cause if she had tried to regroup, I don't think she would have been able to regroup, and she doesn't have enough of a sprint to come around anyone.
Well, they didn't. That's where I think is a mistake. I think she went like, oh, this worked last time. And that's where I think Canyon SRAM is the biggest loser to have two in those with the tactical error of not going full commit to that. They didn't even podium. So
harsh words from Allie.
I think he did full commit on that last one. She had a pretty good gap and they were coming back. I mean, they weren't the sprinters in that group.
Okay. Well, we had a lot of time trialists, which I do think is the big takeaway from today. There's a lot of time trials in that group, but I didn't mean to be harsh. I'm just,
no, like, we like it. Harsh is good. Harsh is good. But I will come over the top. My big takeaway, I'm going to repeat what I said at the top of the show. That was a fun bike race. If you're just a fan and you're just sitting on your couch watching a sporting event, that was fun to watch. Like I loved it. It was exciting. It had a bunch of question marks. You had potential crashes, you had strategy, you had some alliances and allegiances, which is what I just referenced. Like I was like, I don't know who's gonna win. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Yeah. Yep. So
beautiful bike racing. That's the expression of the sport, and we love to watch it, and we love all the riders.
But speaking of that, when is this godforsaken thing you were trying to rope me into coming up? I'm going to Arkansas for the Rule of Three, right?
I asked if you wanted to go to Gravel Locos with me, but you told me it was too long because it's like 150 miles.
Oh yeah.
For the record,
well, I have ridden that far, but I will never, for the rest of my life, ride 150 miles. That's ridiculous.
I'm with Lance on that one.
Thank you.
There's another distance. It's like 110 and Bulch was going to come up. And then he said he had to go to rule of three with
you. That feels real good. Here's the loser division. Are you fucking losers? Are you wimps going over here?
You didn't invite me to rule of three. I was like, well, one of us is going to have to wait for one of us or the other. Me, like, I will wait for you 150 miles. You'll have to wait for me at rule of three.
That's like going to that other thing you do, the other thing in middle of nowhere, and they have the 100-mile division. Like, who does that? I did the 100. People were like, oh, wow, that's lame. Like, no. I'm not.
If you're riding a bike, you're doing it right, Lance. And I'm sorry that it's just too long and hard for you. You know, like, we can find easier events for you to do.
I will fully cop to that. No problem.
Next time we'll bring you out to the Sea Otter Classic and you can do the family off-road tour.
Yeah, that's just what I would love. A whole lot of strangers talking about bikes. I mean, we're just making the list of shit that makes me want to swallow with 357, like all these things. I'm out on all that. I'm just chilling.
Now you see why I'm at the Rosewood in Menlo Park. I was there at Sea Otter for a couple days.
Now you know why I'm still here. 80,000 of my best friends talking about bikes, saying that you're so nice, Lance. That's what they're all saying. They're saying Mari's smart, I'm exciting, and you're so...
No, nice. Just kidding. I mean, Sea Otter is super fun. They're like, the expo is the big... I mean, it's the biggest expo in the country right now. There's nothing like it.
Because we don't have one, right? Interbike goes away, and there was this void. I mean, how long has it been since there was a big trade show? I don't even know how long. So this it seems like it's filled that void. You gotta have... I mean, the industry has to have that. Right.
It's an insane event, and it's beautiful here in like Monterey Carmel area. Like, so many people, all the trade shows, you can like geek out, you can race dual slalom and thorough road, the circuit race on the Laguna Seca racetracks. You're going down the corkscrew on your bike. It's super fun. Kids are just running around. So all bike dorks, I've had a lot of fun. I'm exhausted. But Lance, you know, your presence was requested by maybe one person.
Good. Well, my second wife, Mel Strong, was there. Shout out to Mel Strong, my partner.
I hung out with her.
Yes, my partner in Next Ventures, that my much smarter, better partner. She was there. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Everyone's there. Oh, so you need to be there next.
George was not there.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Was it not bougie enough for George?
You talked about dust and wind, and that's not bougie. So anyways. All right, y'all. This was fun.
Great.
This was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Mari, I know that pool over there at the Rosewood.
I know, it's beautiful.
It's
working on my hand.
By the way, the riding. Yeah. The riding there is insane. Right there.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you soon.
Watch fun. Bye.
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 Oh, boy.